or so it is being reported. There are a lot of interesting twists and turns to this whole situation, and you have presented us with one, which is the government says one thing about what should obtain, but then the interpretation coming from the employer is somewhat different, and then it leaves the workers between a rock and a hard place. There are other issues too. I mean, I see Trinidad has had an issue there where the Prime Minister and the Minister of National Security, I believe, have been under fire over some diplomats. I think it's some Chinese diplomats or something like that. But you can also have a situation where, for instance, somebody with diplomatic status may find themselves in a difficult situation with COVID and may want to ignore that. And if that is happening, the workers in the organization can feel compromised. You could also have a situation where the person who runs and owns the company is operating in a way that makes people who are working in that environment feel insecure about their status because that person might have taken a test and have been walking around and that sort of thing when they should have been in quarantine until they got the results. All of this is possible in the current environment. And there are different permutations of what's arising here. I'm trying to get to find out in these circumstances. I believe I would have thought the COVID unit would be the place to call to get that kind of guidance because they're in a better position to know all the rules that would apply to these circumstances. So I would recommend that you do that. If we can get any information for you, then we will see what we can do. But that's the best that I can do at this point in time. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I was just calling because I don't want my uncle to feel that if he doesn't go into work because he's not necessarily feeling safe, that is not an instance where he's then victimized or his job is threatened. And especially in this time, job security, that's nothing to play with. And then one more thing. When they ask these people to come into work, during the national pause, is it possible for someone, a police officer, to randomly pull over someone and asking what they're doing on the road? Like, what is their purpose of them?
I believe so, because there's an emergency management, a curfew directive number 3, 2021. And basically, this is what it is saying, that we have a public health emergency in Barbados. And by virtue of the power and the authority invested in the, I think it's the Chief Medical Officer of Health or the Prime Minister. I'm not so sure which of them. But in any case, this directive is saying to you that no person, first of all, we will have a curfew imposed from the third day of February to the 17th. Between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m., no person shall leave his residence between that period. The person is an employee, or except if the person is an employee or a member of an essential service, or the person has an emergency. Every employee or member of an essential service should have on his person at all times evidence of his employment by or membership of, as the case may be, such a service. So, but somebody needs to deal with the point that you have raised here, because you know these things are pretty long. There's a lot of information in here about mini marts and pharmacies and gas stations and all of that. So somebody will have to address the question which you've raised, that you have some workers who are being told that they must come and they have not been classified as essential services. And they will, like anybody who is coming on the street, and that is very important. I think this is where this particular directive comes into play. if they don't have the necessary pass to be able to be on the streets during lockdown, they will not be able to get to work. They'll be running a risk that they will be asked why they are on the street in these circumstances. So they would have to have good enough reason why they are going to this place of work without having anything in place to support the call for them to be at the office or wherever the employer wants them. In some of this, you know, look, it may well dovetail too with this view that some employers have that this thing isn't necessary, they don't like it and stuff like that. And they may at points come across as being insensitive when they're dealing with workers on the job. Because we do have people who have that kind of view of the situation. Stacks. Now, there was a lady who called us a short while ago about some issues at the Barbados Revenue Authority. I'd like that lady to call us back and give us your number so that we can get somebody to assist you in this quest to be able to get the online process sorted out. So call us back as soon as possible. And then some others are pointing here to this issue which was raised by the young lady just now. We are in an environment where, as you know, there's some heavy fines for people who breach the directives, the directive which has been issued. And we have here someone pointing out that, well, first of all, it says, I listened to the press conference yesterday, the person writes, because I missed it live. The Attorney General was very clear that cleaners and cleaning companies can only operate for the purpose of cleaning the facilities of essential businesses. He even stressed that maids at personal residences, gardeners and nannies are not to work during this period. He said all businesses that can work from home should do so, but if you can't, then you have to close once you are not an essential business or you are not exempted. So what it is saying to you is that if you are not in that special category, you cannot be going to work. It isn't necessary for you to adhere to that particular demand. Of course, what is happening with a number of employees is that they're intimidated and they want the job because they want the job so badly. Once the employer says, well, I want you, they are encouraging you to risk a very heavy fine. It says here that if you fail to comply with this directive, any person who contravenes this directive or fails to comply with any conditions specified by the chief medical officer or the unit is guilty of an offense and is liable on summary conviction to a fine of $50,000 or to imprisonment for a term of 1 year or to both, pursuant to paragraph 15(1) of the Emergency Management COVID-19 number 3 order 2020. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yes, good Hello? Afternoon.
Yes, sir. Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, ma'am.
And yes, I'm calling about the same issue that you were just discussing. I work at a private house.
So you work where?
A private home.
Yes.
Right, so my boss is telling me she needed me to come in because she's not able to take care of the house. Her hands and stuff is hurt. So I tell her I can't come to work. She says she's going to try to get the pass for me, that I'm supposed to be an essential worker. But I was telling her I don't think so.
Well, don't worry about that. She let her get the pass. If she can get the pass for you and you classify it as an essential worker, well, let's see how she's going to do that. Perhaps she's got skills and contacts that you may not be aware of. So let's wait and see if she makes it for but you. But if she doesn't,
they have the thing from JAS that you can apply for.
Ma'am, if she doesn't, don't get caught up with this. You are not an essential worker, not from what the government has said.
Yes, please.
If she wants a pass for you, perhaps because, I don't know if she may fall into the category of being elderly or something like that, perhaps.
Yeah, last time. Something.
Right. In the last time we had to deal with this, I think there was some special dispensation for the elderly, but I am not so sure that you're going to be in that position now because of the variant and the community spread. We're in a different era right now in that regard, but you would do well not to do anything until you can get an actual pass. Okay.
Yes, please.
Oh, that's the advice. All right. And you should communicate with her to that effect. Because you going out there feeling very uncertain, and if you're going as a maid, I don't know, as far as I'm aware, that is something that is not on the cards at the moment. But she has already said to you that she will undertake to get the necessary permit. So leave that to her, okay? This is down to brass tacks. It's 1:46.
Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Song or? Yeah. Well, this is one of your callers that sometimes you might not want to hear.
No, you just give me trouble. But I don't have a problem with trouble, you know.
Because
as I told you already, I've said it to you before. This program cannot be a program where people are of the same view. The only issue for us is how we conduct ourselves.
Right, good. So I'm coming again at you one more time. I was going to ask you a question. I hope you don't cut me off and you're straight somewhere along. But I'm going to ask you a question. Why is it that you would not let you and I think most, and also Mr. Johnson seem to like to cut off the gentleman called Anti-America. We call it Anti-America. Why is it that we don't want to allow him to?
Well, I personally, there's a way that I expect that people who are dealing with us on the call-in program will treat us. And I don't think that it is unreasonable. It really is unreasonable to expect that moderators will sit down here and take any kind of treatment from people. This has nothing to do with what opinion you express, you know, but it is how this is done. And I feel that we are being asked to go through a level of unfairness that is not right.
So I don't know what, you have a little delay, so I don't know what was said before, but I just heard he started talking with intellectual, these guys with intellectual, some intellectual ability or something like that. And then
about intellectual ability. Are you talking, I am dealing exclusively with conduct on the air. And you all demand a lot, people like you demand a lot of us. But do not demand the same thing from other people.
Why you just want to know why he was cut off this time around with getting a chance to really get a floor? He didn't floor. So why was he cut off? It sounded like censorship to me, Mr. Ellis.
Well, if it is censorship to you, I demand only one thing. And that we have been through an experience here on a number of days where it has been less than acceptable the way that we have been treated and the conduct that we've been exposed to. So let's get that right first. Okay, let's move on.
So you see, just move on because you don't want me to floor this also. Is that so?
Yeah, but you floor as much as you like.
Mr. Williams came on, Mr. Williams, and he said something about the journalists here in Barbados and the world, how they were over. So I sort of like overkill in terms of this corona business that we're going through. And you didn't pay much attention, and then you came back and tried to say something after. But I mean, I don't think his view, Mr. Williams, you at the party today was much different to what I was hearing this gentleman in Anti-America saying. And so why you Anti-America can't speak? Why you don't let him speak? It's not fair, Mr. Ellis.
I have just told you already, this is not about what you say. It is the conduct, how you conduct yourself towards the program. That is as simple as that. You all demand something better of us, but you don't demand it of them.
It's not all about what your...
Well, that's your interpretation. When you ready to, when you become the moderator, you could come and handle it how you feel like. But, you know, and I get a lot of reaction, I must tell you, to that kind of style.
Right. Well, this is a dynamic world. A lot of variation, and
that's true. But you know what? When you come on this program, you adopt your particular style. And you do things your way. Isn't that correct?
Well, I say what I want to say.
Right, and you do things your way.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Right. So
you would expect that if we are charged with a certain responsibility for how we conduct the program, that we would also be expected to live up to a certain standard.
Yes, okay? Fair enough. But I want to hear all views.
I don't have a problem with all views. I hope that you, in the meantime, would encourage that in expressing those views, that the way that people conduct themselves, moderators and others on this radio station, would be to a standard that is considered acceptable by most. That's what you should be doing. But instead of that, there are some of you who want to encourage two types of Barbadoses, one for one set of people, and another for the other set. You see nothing wrong with the conduct.
I don't see the contribution the gentleman has made. I do not see why he has to be cut off. But
That's your interpretation. I've spoken to you.
If he's disrespectful, I don't understand. That's a different matter.
Well, fine. And I've given you my interpretation. So what's the next point before the program ends?
Well, I do come to the next point, except maybe I'm going to leave that point another time. I'm going to leave that area for another time. Okay, Mr. Ellis, I don't want to prolong right now. I'm going to leave what I was thinking about for another time. Okay?
You are one of the people who, in my judgment, can do better in encouraging better conduct as it relates to how some of these people behave. And you know, you got children, and I suspect you may even have grandchildren. You sit down in your home and you tell them every day about how we are supposed to deal with situations and conduct ourselves in this country. But when you see something like that, you don't call it out. You come here to support it. And as long as I'm a gatekeeper in this regard, I will call it as I see it. This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air. We don't have a lot of time, so.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am.
I am calling to find out. I have to go and get medication repeat at the clinic sometime next week. Will I be permitted to go?
I don't know. Whether you're going to be permitted to go. I believe that pharmacies are open for specified periods. I've seen that come out in the communication from government. Therefore, the pharmacies can be open just for the sake of it. They must be open for people to be able to go.
This is the polyclinic I'm speaking about.
Well, I believe that you will have, the government has not clamped down on that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Government sees that as necessary. You know, people need to get medication. People need to get attention. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You on the air?
You're inquiring about the emergency passes for essential workers. You know, if they're going to be issued the same or if they're issued already or anything of the sort?
I think they're issuing them via... what you call the SMS, the messenger facility on the phones.
That's how they did it last time, but they have not been issued as yet. You know anybody that get any?
I got one.
Oh, you got yours already? Oh,
yes, okay. I was looking for it otherwise, but that's how it came. So why don't you look at your phone and see? Have you checked your phone recently?
Or messages via message?
Yeah, check the SMS. Rather than not WhatsApp, you know.
SMS, yeah.
So check it, the text messages that you get on the phone. See if that's in there.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. All right, so it's now 1:55. So we got time for one more call today. Welcome to the program. Let's see if something else I might have been able to share with you, because people send me messages and I regret that I can't give you all the messages they get, because there's several of them. So I got to pick and choose. This person says that they've been trying to reach the monitoring unit in connection with a business that is allegedly aware of an employee who is now off from work with a positive result, but has not closed its doors or notified the staff about it. Have a good day. So the monitoring unit will have to give you advice on that, exactly what should be done, because as they've pointed out, not in every instance do they advise that you close a business. So they are the experts at that, okay? Down to brass tacks. One more call.
Hello.
Yes, welcome. Turn off your radio.
Yes, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I was calling because previously I had asked about getting some help with getting the medication from the clinics, and no one ever called me back. So I'm just wondering if that has been resolved.
What's the point? Medication from the clinics?
Yes. The polyclinics.
That you want to know what about it again?
Well, you know, previously they had said that you would be able to get someone in the case of elderly people who cannot go out, in particular to the clinics, and that clinic is a very, very busy area. And
yes.
Would need someone to collect the medication on behalf of this customer. And someone had said that they would question how they could go about it, because I cannot want to go to the clinic myself.
Yes. Whether they're going to deliver the medication to you. Well, this will be coming from the polyclinic?
Yes, Black Rock Polyclinic.
That's something we need to get some information from government on, okay? I can't give you an answer to that right now. There are so many questions to be answered. It's difficult. Yes. This person says the Attorney General coming on TV and speaking about giving directives, can that be taken as law in Barbados? I think you know that there's a process for determining law in the country. So you would know that from time to time, people will make utterances, but then they are expected to follow through by taking the necessary legislation through Parliament. So I don't have any evidence, really, that basically we are being governed in a different way altogether, okay? And I got something here. I think we're coming into the state closing stages here. Barbadians desirous of applying for an emergency pass are reminded that they can only do so electronically. Persons may visit the Barbados Government Integrated Portal to download the template, complete the form, and email it to emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. That's emergency.pass@barbados.gov.bb. And all of that is in lowercase. Additionally, persons are asked not to alter the form and complete it as is. Members of the public are strongly advised to only apply for an emergency pass for valid reasons. Thank you very much for sharing that information with us. That's it. Welcome. Thank you all for being here on today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And I thank you on behalf of John Stout, who's been the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.